This speaker is somebody that I met last year while I was on tour. Miriam and I did the Mexico Activation Tour. And just so many people are doing great things in Mexico and all around the world. But I think that they need more attention. And please give this man your attention because he's a brilliant mind. Mariano Goren, come to the stage, brother. Yes, make some noise for him.
Hello, everybody. How are you? I like that. There you go. Thank you. All right. So first of all, how are we in the death by PowerPoint scale? Can I see some movements or claps, something? Yeah, okay. They're still alive. That's good. All right. So what I want to talk to you today is about my last few years' experience and principally the last year experience working with ARCA self-sufficient villages. What we are doing is to create a network of self-sufficient villages by acquiring farms and ranches to then integrate regenerative technologies and obviously a real estate development. If you want to know more about that, you have the address here, arca.land. All right. So I come from this 25 years love story with technology. I started, you know, back in the 90s, playing with code, playing with HTML, and ended up working with these big brands, you know, financial mostly, doing design of complex tools, most of them financials. And also, because I think that design is a transformative tool for humanity, also working in this kind of, you know, let's change the world together projects. So this one, you can still see or get a working version of this one. It was called Democracy OS, and is now called Democracia OS. And it's basically a software for open government. So basically, the idea was that we were giving the opportunity to citizens to participate in legislative politics. So basically, the citizens were able to vote and discuss the project of laws that the legislators were proposing. Another one was this Sistema D. Basically, this one was a digital ID by blockchain. So basically, this was the totally private version of what the, you know, Davos crowd wants to get us to get. And the idea was that this was integrated with a rewards system. So basically, if you haven't had any kind of document provided by the state, you can either way get this, share your own identity with the people that you want, and obviously use this as a tool for getting these rewards and basically connecting with other people from the network. The last one was Nirva that I wanted to share here. This was a blockchain tool. Basically, the idea was to provide financial literacy for people. At the same time that you learn how to invest, you can invest in blockchain, in cryptos. So that was the idea. But basically, you know, when I started this amazing journey with technology, I discovered that, this digital nomad thing, this is amazing. I can travel, know the world. I started doing this from 2016. 2020, I was traveling, you know, all over the world, living in Bali, Australia, Barcelona, and doing my stuff, you know, with digital design. I actually moved more than 60 times in this period. And, you know, here we go. So basically, I was living, you know, a dream life here. I was living in communal spaces known as co-living spaces. Who knows co-living spaces from here? Okay, not so many, good. So basically, these are big houses, you know, in which you have private bathroom in the best case. In the worst case, you don't get a private bathroom. But the idea is that you get to learn how to live in a community, you know, and sharing and what are the pros and cons of that kind of life. But then, you know, 2020 came, and that was a big change. I was back at that time in Santiago de Chile, and it was really difficult. Who has this experience of feeling like in Nazi Germany during 2020? Okay, There are a few. Okay. So yeah, in Santiago de Chile, that was very bad because basically you had to ask permission to the police to go to the supermarket, and they will allow you twice a week, 2 hours each time. So basically, you know, I said, okay, clearly this is not the kind of place that I want, and this is not the kind of society in which I want to be involved in. And you know, I got in depressed, obviously. I guess that most of us got in that situation if we were isolated. And that was, you know, for me, a moment in which I said, okay, so basically things are changing in the world and I can do something about it. For starters, I will leave Santiago de Chile. And then, I don't know if you ever heard of this company, Research. It's an amazing company. They deliver intelligence reports about, you know, second passports, how to relocate internationally, how to internationalize your finances. And, you know, they sent this amazing report that was saying, hey, man, here you can go and you're going to be free. So I moved here to this amazing, amazing place, Mexico. I landed down in Playa del Carmen, and I discovered this amazing, amazing crowd there. It was pretty interesting that seemed like the Riviera Maya was once again receiving all the exiles from all parts of the world. So that happened back in the Toltecs days, when basically the military Toltecs were displacing the priests, and then the priests decided to come down to the south and to the west, to the east. And then, you know, that was the dividing line for me. Meta was announced. So when I saw the presentation, I was like, I think that I saw this in a movie, like The Matrix. Yeah, it's pretty similar. And then, you know, I saw this, which are, you know, the different, you know, the different things that they have ready for us. And I will not go deep into this because these last few days we have a lot of information regarding this. But what I understood was that, you know, the things were changing, and basically the people that was in charge and own all the technology and basically everything that we know as the Western world were going to do something about that. And basically they were going to put a paywall. So basically, if you want to access all of these amazing things that we have for you, okay, you will have to do something for us. So I started thinking, okay, I'm now in Mexico, this is amazing, but clearly there are things that are going to be changing. And I started thinking about, you know, this digital ID thing. So basically, you know, the government wants you to do something and you need to do that in order to access society. But how about when I need to enter my digital ID to log into internet, to basically do my job, earn my bread? And unfortunately, who knows Max Egan from here? Yay. Can we give a round of applause? Thanks a lot. Yeah, so basically Max Egan broke this news a few weeks ago. So basically by 2027, this scenario is going to become real. And we will need to enter our digital ID to log in. So that was pretty bad. But there were also real life implications for that. And I started thinking, okay, I cannot log in into the internet. I will not be able to be a designer. And then how about, you know, living in cities, which I love, obviously. So I don't know if you ever heard about this 15-minute cities idea. Yeah? All right. So basically, this is basically the neo-feudal reorganization of society. So, you know, back in the day, we had these different feuds that were, you know, owned by, you know, dukes or whatever. And nowadays, we are going to see a rehearsal of that, or re-rehearsal of that, in the way of these 15-minute cities. Basically, it's taking a big city and dividing it into districts. You know, and maybe you cannot go to this district because you are not so good citizen. And maybe, you know, if you go to this other place, we are going to deduct some points from your digital ID. But, you know, This became really, really grave when I saw, you know, these 5G enabled LED lights. So, you know, I said in this tweet that I liked more the killer robot on the right because it was clearly a killer robot. You know, it's there to kill you. Has weapons, you know, it's aiming at you. That's pretty simple. But on the side of the LED lights, you don't see that. They seem, you know, harmful, non-harmful. So basically, when you start seeing what are the things that these lights have, you start thinking about it again. So basically, these lights are equipped with sonar, LiDAR, they have a radar, they have a face recognition technology. And you start saying, hey, why these lights need so much information? And then you go to the Wikipedia and search for LED incapacitators. I don't know if anyone here knows about this technology. Okay, so basically, this is a flashlight that goes into random pulses, and basically it creates vomit in you. So basically, you start vomiting without control. Have you seen the lights of the police here? You know, is the LED lights are very strong, and they are bad for you, even, you know, the common lights without flashing in this randomized sequence. But when you get this, basically, you get incapacitated, or even worse, die. But, you know, this guy, when I was researching this, you can see there that this guy has these yellow lenses on. So basically, seems like that can dim the effects. So quick tip there. But basically, you know, what I understood is that if I want to continue being a free thinker, you know, a critical thinker, I will not be able to stay in the cities for long. You know, these are going to become these places guarded by lights. You know, it's very crazy. So I said, okay, this is a great opportunity to rethink everything in my life. Obviously, you know, this 25 years story, love story with technology was coming to an end. But, and this is important, what I started thinking is that, you know, it doesn't matter what happens to you, it's how you take it. And this is, you know, one slide that I don't know where I got it, but it's amazing, so thank you for the creator. So basically, your God power is in your ability to assign meaning as a human being. So it's always about how you, you know, see things. So basically, all things in your life can be good or bad. It depends how you take it. So all things can be read from the victim or the protagonist's perspective. And this was the moment in which I said, okay, so basically, yeah, this is not the ideal situation, obviously, but I have so many things to learn from this. So, you know, at the same time that I was trying to get my head around this, I started researching, okay, where to go when shit hits the fan, you know? And in my research, I was really like trying to find something that was not there. Honestly, it was not there. And I said, this is weird because clearly the end of this way of life, the Westerner way of life, is going to bring another, you know, several different ways of life to replace that. And, you know, why is there's no one doing this? This is very weird. Oh, probably because it's really difficult, you know? And then I said, yeah, this is probably a good business opportunity, but I don't know anything about the industry. You know, I always built things in the digital realm. And I said, yeah, perfect, basically. A great opportunity to learn new things, you know, and recreate myself. Going. Yay. Okay, it seems like it went out of sync, but yeah. All right. There you go. So my thought and the basic thought that the foundational thought for initiating ARCA was, okay, basically, if you're not creating a culture, you're following other person's culture. And I said, okay, this is a good place to start, basically. Yeah, seems like it goes here, but not there. Okay, so What made communities thrive? What made communities fail? That was the line of research that I started. You know, being a designer, I'm able to do that. And I started thinking, okay, basically what we have here is a new opportunity to create, you know, this communal way of living. But, you know, I had this old really bad experiences in the past, like communism, you know, kibbutz. None of them worked. And I started talking with people, you know, making some interviews to understand this. And I also discovered the work of Ivan Illich. I don't know who knows him. Yay, he's great. He has influenced me so much. I recommend that you check him out if you are in any way trying to form a community. So basically what I did later, are we done with that?
I'm gonna put it back on.
Here. Yeah. So just to understand where
I'm gonna try and pull it back up.
Okay. So basically I understood that the path moving forward was something that was not communism for sure. But you know, I tried to understand what things worked and what things haven't worked. Oh, hello. I see myself. Just a second, peeps.
All right, you can put it back up, Ramiro.
Because this is an important part. That is why I wanted the screen. Yeah, can we applaud? No, but let's give it for the team. Come on, you know, this is an amazing, amazing event. Thanks a lot, guys. This has been great. All right. So after my research, what I started thinking is, okay, so basically there are different things that you have to have in mind when you're trying to create this culture. And I came with this convivial layers framework that you see here. So if obviously we are not going to have enough time to go all over for all over the points here. Let me see if I can. Yay. So basically, we are not going to have time for this, but if I see some interest on this, I will publish this as a self-analysis guide. So let's see if that this works. So all of these things are the things that you should be thinking of when you are planning to move somewhere else. And more in this, you know, situation that we are in, which we have to think in other things that we haven't thought in the past. So let's see if I can do this. Yay. Almost there. Yay. Okay, there you go. Yeah, don't tell me anything about the QR code. I know. It's ironic, but. Okay, so basically what, if I see some interest here, I will send this to the list, you know, a description, a better description of all the points that I was mentioning. But what I want to do now is to share this one thing that I believe is the key to a civilization of your own design, which is network curation. So basically, you know, why to invest your time in creating a network? These three things are going to be very clear for you, I guess. The first one is the fragility of the human being. We don't have fangs, we don't have a thick skin that allows us to defend against several opponents. So basically, that is a no-no option in a bad situation. So basically, the upper hand will always be with the group. The second one is that the humans have a very limited attention span. So basically, you know, as humans, we can only pay attention to one thing at the same time. I don't care what Gen Z says about this, only one thing at the same time. And basically, that is why we have the division of work, right? The idea is that we can do our stuff individually and then trade. And third is that resourcefulness can be a very bad thing in a crisis situation because you become a target, basically. So my perspective here is that the quality and quantity of your real social network is going to determine your family quality of life from now on. And that is why, you know, I think it's so important to develop one, and I want to share this with you. Basically, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to have all the resources. You just need to know the right people. So here we go. I will give you this case study of Arca Club. So this is basically the project that we are doing in the Riviera Maya. And I want to share my experience because it's going to be easier to give you ideas on how to start yours. So let's go there. The goal for this strategy is to create this talent, this network of talent, skills, and, you know, friends, after all, and resources, obviously, that you can tap in any time. You know, this is not, doesn't matter that the world ends or not, you get this amazing network around you. And the three steps that I want to propose are, first, to define your avatar. Second, to create opportunities to connect. And the third is to foster the network connections. Let's go right away with the first one. There you go. All right, to define your avatar. So an avatar is like a condensation of characteristics. It's like to, you know, write a character and a character from a novel or something like that. But the idea here is that you start thinking really deeply in what is the kind of people that you want around you in this time, you know, in the next few years. So what I would share here is the segmentation that we did in Arca. So basically we have two different kinds of people. One are the dynamizers, which are, you know, younger people that bring the vibrance to the community. They are interested in shared spaces, you know, in staying, you know, 6 months maybe in the village per year. And then we have the rooters, which are, you know, older people that want to be, you know, left alone. And basically they, you know, they want the same things, but they want for them to be adapted to their current moment in their lives. Second would be the filtering process. This is super, super important. So basically, by organizing the events that we've been doing in the Riviera Maya, I got to know, you know, these a lot of scammers, basically. So you will need to make some kind of process or something to separate the chaff from the wheat. And I would recommend here two different things. The first one is to do this, you know, intuitive Google search. So basically you search the name of the person, the last name, and scam, scammer, whatever, and you will get some results probably. And then the second thing, which is very important, is this 16 personalities test. I don't know if you ever heard of this. It's amazing. Basically do it for yourself. You're going to be surprised. The site is 16personalities.com. And, you know, that takes more time. It's like 2 hours to complete the full questionnaire, but it will give you, you know, very clear guidelines on what is that people made of. And the third one, who are the key people in your network? So I don't know if you see there, but there is the Freedom Cells Network website. So I will, yeah, please subscribe if you haven't. And basically, this is important because it will give you, you know, this catalog of people that is in the same line of thinking. And from there on, you know, you can start bringing the people that is more connected to you or more like-minded to you to your more private group. Also here is very important to identify who, you know, what are the characteristics of the people that will be needed for you and your family as providers. So for example, I will share here what we are going to do with Arca Club from now on, because this is, you know, an evolving startup. And these are going to be the services that we are going to start serving our members with. So the first one is what we are already doing, which is a monthly event. This goes on the last Tuesday of each month. And, you know, it's sharing some food, sharing some drinks, talks, you know, obviously people connect in these events. And it's pretty amazing by itself. Second, club calendar event. This would be, you know, like a Google share calendar in which all the members can put their own events and maybe even consult what other people is doing. So in this manner, you know, you get this group of friends that can join you everywhere. Third is Telegram group, pretty straightforward, communication between peers. And fourth, vetted directory of providers. And this one is very important. So basically, I heard yesterday an amazing speaker that was saying, we live in a time in which we are drowning in information. So basically, what is really valuable nowadays is to have this curated, catered information, you know, really catered to your audience. So what we are going to do here is to aggregate all the information about, for example, food providers around the Riviera Maya, health providers, also mentors for your kids, for example. That is one need that I've seen a lot in the Riviera Maya. So basically, list all the mentors. Also, we are trying to list in this section the scammers, you know, because you want your people to be aware of the bad people around. And the idea is that all of these should be reviewed by the same peers that compose this network. So basically, you know, if someone has a bad experience with someone, can leave a message and you don't have to go over that again. Then the two last things that we are going to offer as part of Arca Club, probably this is not going to fit your model, but we're going to offer first pick in any property that we do. That is the first thing. And the second thing is a discount over the price of the purchase. All right. Third, foster network connections. So this is going to be pretty simple, pretty straightforward. You can build a network, but if no one is using it, you know, you don't have anything there. So basically, the idea is that you start, you know, for example, replacing the purchases that you do in the supermarket. So instead of buying the meat from the supermarket, you go and try to find, you know, organic farmer or something, someone that can provide you that same good without, you know, giving money to the supermarkets or big brands. Second would be evaluate opportunities for bulk purchases. This is pretty straightforward too. The idea is that once you get this network, you can start trying to pile up efforts and, you know, do things, reduce cost, you know, timeshare. There are infinity of things to do there. And the last one is introduce members of the network. This can be, you know, if you detect that someone has a need of something and you know the person that can solve it, you introduce that person. Maybe you introduce persons to, I don't know, make babies, maybe. That would work too. So we're reaching the end now. Okay. So what I believe is that we are heading into this situation in which, you know, we see this bifurcation of society. And I honestly, I would say that I know that the most important thing is to get these people to share, you know, these times. Basically, it's not the hard times, but the people that you will have around that will help you, you know, move toward this and actually create the best future for you and your family. And to end up, I want to finish off with this phrase, quote, which is that we have to redesign our present to get to the future that we want. And we do this by basically changing our perspective of reality, seeing things through this lens of positivity and knowing that things are going to be great at the end. Thanks a lot for your attention. Thanks a lot for the organizers. And I hope that we can create this larger network in the future.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think. And this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with the Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a 5-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating 5 focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, Building Free and Conscious Communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4 co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.